today we are beginning this very auspicious pilgrimage Sri Gaura-Mandala Bhumi Yatra. We have come together in this most munificent of all holy places, Sri Mayapur Dham, to purify our hearts and beg the Supreme Lord to grant us His eternal loving service.
It is the goal of the life of the devotees to please Krishna.
And we beg Krishna for prema, for love, knowing that to the degree we offer our service with devotion, we could give more pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Krishna. But on every level in our spiritual lives, our aim should be the pleasure of Krishna and the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. This should be our constant prayer throughout this most holy Gaura-Mandala Harikatha. We have come away from our ordinary services and various responsibilities to this holy place. It is a very rare fortune. Therefore, we should very sincerely strive to make every moment the optimum possible opportunity for spiritual advancement. For the next 10 days, we should not speak anything except the pastimes and the names of the Lord and positive ways to glorify and serve the Lord's devotees. Not a single other word should come from our mouths. Whatever comes by Krishna's divine mercy, we should accept gratefully. There should be no complaining. There should be no criticizing. There should be no talking of any of the mundane events or topics that we are trying to transcend. In fact, we should all be trying to inspire and encourage each other by our own example. We come to a holy place to perform tapasya. We do not come to a holy place to enjoy a vacation. Those who have come for vacation, please raise your hands if you know. Tapasya means, in the path of bhakti, that we are enthusiastic for service without consideration of how we happen to feel. We will dance and we will chant with great enthusiasm at every kirtan as an austerity. If we feel blissful, that is a wonderful austerity. If we feel utterly miserable and tired and sick, we should dance with greater enthusiasm and chant more than ever for the pleasure of the Lord, for the inspiration of the devotees, and for the purification of our hearts. During the kathas, we should be very, very eager to hear, anxious to hear. Our hearts should be open, like a desperate, helpless beggar, starving to take every grain of Hari Katha that we can possibly assimilate. If any of you are sleeping, you are preaching to everyone. Go to sleep. If any of you are listening with rapt attention, you are preaching to everyone that Krishna's glories are all auspicious. And there will be some inconveniences, because that is the will of the Lord. Sometimes long drives, sometimes hot cement under our feet. Sometimes sun, sometimes we're late for prasad. Whatever it may be, we should simply gladly accept it as an opportunity for spiritual advance. And most of all, through hearing and chanting together, we can develop spiritual love for each other. And there is nothing more pleasing to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, than when he sees the devotees serving together in love and respect for one another. So let this be the constant principle we live by during this Sri Gauramandala Bhumi. We have the very auspicious presence of three of Srila Prabhupada's very great disciples, Satchinanda Maharaj. Supremely powerful. The reason is, in this age of Kali, everyone is terribly offensive. Even if we try not to be, invariably we make apparatus. And an offense in the holy dham is very severely held against one. In the spiritual world of Vrindavan dham, the supreme abode of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada explains, any spiritual activity we perform, we get 100 times the credit as performing in another place. However, any offense you make is held against you 100 times greater than if you made that offense elsewhere. And we are very offensive. However, in Navadvip Dham, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they are so merciful. They are supremely merciful because they came in this age of Kali to deliver the most offensive. In Navadvip Dham, Jagai and Madhai were given Krishna Prema. In their previous births, they were killed by the Lord in other holy places. Vrindavan Dham is Madhurya Dham. It is the place of the ultimate sweetness. And Navadvip Dham is called Audarya Dham. Everything about Vrindavan is within Navadvip with one extra special feature. That Vrindavan Dham is very confidential. Unless one very offenselessly serves the Lord with pure love, one cannot enter into the transcendental lila of Braja. But Sri Sri Radha and Krishna have appeared in the one form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to distribute the love of Braj Bhumi everywhere and anywhere, to everyone without discrimination, even if you are offensive, if you are simply trying to give up that offensive mentality. In the mood of serving devotees, and accept the supreme mercy of Harinam Sankirtan by loudly chanting the holy name. Consists of 9 islands. I believe it is 32 miles in circumference. It is compared to a lotus flower. Gaurmandala Bhumi is considered a 100-petaled lotus. And in the center there is an 8-petaled lotus. And also the 8 islands of Sri Navadvip. And in the center is Antardvip, which is the wall of the lotus of Sri Navadvip Dham. Because this is the holy place that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally descended into this world to give Krishna prema. It is described how Lord Brahma, after stealing the calves and the cowherd boys in Vrindavan, realized Krishna's supreme opulence and accepted himself as the eternal servant of the Lord. He performed tapasya in order to gain the mercy of Krishna. But he considered himself so condemned and so fallen that due to being in such a high post of the father and creator of everything within the universe, he had become proud. Therefore, knowing the most merciful of all avatars, Lord Chaitanya, would appear in this age of Kali Yuga, he came to this place and he performed tapasya in order to gain the mercy of Lord Gauranga. And after many, many days of tapasya and prayer, Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared before Lord Brahma in his beautiful golden form, with his lotus eyes that stretched practically to his ears, his beautiful nose which was like a sesame flower, his lips which was red like a fresh flower, his neck, which was like that of a lion, and shoulders, which were like that of elephant. His arms extended below his knees. He had broad chest, thin waist, very powerful. Always in the ecstasy of love of God, chanting his own holy names. His beautiful golden complexion was resplendent like molten gold. And just the darshan of Lord Gauranga melts the hearts of all living beings. Lord Brahma fell at the feet of Lord Gauranga. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his beautiful lotus feet on Lord Brahma's head. Lord Chaitanya's beautiful blackish hair was flowing and cascading down his broad shoulders. Intoxicated with the love of Srimati Radharani, he was chanting Krishna's holy names. He asked Lord Brahma to accept a benediction. Lord Brahma approached the Lord in a most humble state of mind, that I am most fallen and degraded and offensive, and due to my being creator, I have become so proud. I desire to worship you. I desire to serve you when you descend into this world in the age of Kali Yuga. But I want to be put in a position where I have no pride, where I can truly practice your real principle of devotion, of being humble like a blade of grass, please grant me this benediction. Lord Gauranga spoke to Brahma that when I descend in this age of Kali, you will appear with me in the house of a Yavana. You will be untouchable by caste, and you will follow the principles of Tridharapi Sunichena, Tadorapi Sahishnana, Arani Navarayana, Purakanya Sadhavani, perfectly. You will chant my holy names minimum 300,000 times every single day. And you will always be aspiring to serve the Vaishnavas. In this way you will be my very life and soul. And your name will be Srila Haridas Thakur. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Then Lord Chaitanya told Lord Brahma that in this incarnation I am going to reveal a very confidential internal secret to you. In the mood of my own pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, I will be searching out to understand and experience the ecstasy of her love. I, Krishna, in the Mahabhava of Srimati Radharani, will descend into this world to distribute the love of Sri Radharani to everyone and anyone without discrimination through the congregational chanting of the holy names. You should not disclose this information to anyone. You should worship me with pure unalloyed devotion. And as Haridas Thakur, you will spread the holy name throughout the whole world. Because this internal secret was revealed to Lord Brahma in this very place, it is called Antarami. Antara means internal. The internal purpose of the Lord's descent was revealed here. It is described by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami how Lord Krishna in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan was reflecting within his own mind that I am Rasaraj. I am the king of all rasas. In fact, I am the reservoir of all pleasure. Hundreds and millions and trillions of cupids are all attracted to me. Whatever pleasure anyone is striving for, it is ultimately coming from me. And yet, I am always longing for the pleasure of experiencing the love of my own Hladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. The Supreme Absolute Truth is one, but he expands himself into two for the purpose of supreme pleasure, or ras. Therefore, Radha and Krishna is the one Supreme God, the Lord enjoying himself through his own potency. Hladini Shakti means all the pleasure of Krishna is derived from his love affair with Srimati Radharani. Krishna was thinking, the ultimate pleasure for all living beings is to see me. But my ultimate pleasure is to see Sri Radharani. The ultimate pleasure of all living beings is to chant my holy names, but I derive ultimate pleasure by chanting the holy name of Sri Radharani. But I cannot understand what it is that she experiences in her love for me. Although I am the knower of everything, there are three principles that I cannot understand. What is the glory of Sri Radha's love? What is it about me that she so ecstatically relishes? And three, what is the happiness that she feels by feeling my love for her? The only way I can understand these most precious of all truths is if I descend into the world experiencing the love of Sri Radharani and appearing with the golden complexion of my eternal consort. So Krishna decided that just now it is time for the Yuga Avatar, the prescribed incarnation. I will mix together with that incarnation for these three internal purposes. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains the three internal potencies for Lord Chaitanya's descent into this world is to understand the glory of Sri Radharani's love, to understand what it is about himself that she relishes, and to experience the happiness she derives by receiving his love. And the three external purposes was to fulfill the prayer of Sri Advaitacharya, to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita, Haritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami jidejite, to annihilate the miscreants, protect the devotees, to reestablish the principles of religion, and also to establish the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. So Lord Krishna sent his eternal associates from the spiritual world to prepare for his descent. Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, Kundarik Vidyanidhi, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Paramananda Puri, Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra lived here in Sri Mayapur Dham. And he was given in marriage the most blessed daughter of Nilambar Chakravarti, Sachi Devi. It is described that previously Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata were Kashyapa and Aditi, and they gave birth to Lord Vamanadeva. And then they were Dasarath and Kausalya and gave birth to Sri Rama. They were also Vasudeva and Devaki, who gave birth to Krishna, and they were Nanda and Yashoda, who engaged in loving Krishna in the most intimate way in Sri Gokul Dham. They so much wanted a child. Sachi Devi had 8 daughters, but each and every one of them died soon after their birth. So Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi began to worship their Shalagram Shila, Damodar, in the house that we are sitting in just now at this place. And soon a beautiful child was born. He was the expansion of Lord Balaram Nityananda Prabhu himself. And his name was given Vishwarup. He was reservoir of all spiritually divine qualities and brought so much happiness to his parents. They increased their worship to show their gratitude to the Lord. And then, in the month of Magh, the Supreme Absolute Truth decided to descend in the womb of Sachi Devi. The environment at the time is very important to understand. In Navadvip, Srivas and his three brothers were living at Srivas Angam. They were constantly performing kirtan and discussing the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Advaitacharya was living in Shantipur. Haridas Thakur was living close by in Fulia. And many devotees, Mukunda Dutt, Murari Gupta, Shuklambar Brahmachari, and so many others, they would gather together every day to hear about Krishna and chant his holy names in ecstatic kirtan. But it was paining their hearts so severely to see how the rest of the world, and especially this great city of Navadvip, were wasting their lives in material pursuits. Navadvip was considered the high place of learning in the entire world. And yet none of the great Bhattacharyas, Mishras, or scholars, Chakravartis, were in any way chanting the name of Krishna. They were spending lavish amounts of money for the marriage of their children, for other material pursuits, for all forms of sense gratification. And even the greatest scholars who would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam would not say a word about bhakti or devotion. People were worshipping the various goddesses, Chandi, simply for all superstitious and materialistic purposes. The sannyasis, the yogis, the tapasis, they had no sense of bhakti. And they all criticized, condemned, and harassed the devotees. While you are chanting the holy name so loudly, do you not know Krishna's in your heart? And besides that, he's sleeping. If you chant so loudly, you will wake him up and he will destroy the universe. We cannot sleep at night. We have to work to make money, to enjoy material pleasures, and you are disturbing everything. They were so much condemning the devotees. And the devotees were praying. And they all approached Advaitacharya, who was their leader. And they were weeping and crying in compassion. Advaitacharya made a vow. I will, by my prayers, I will cause Krishna himself in his original form to descend into this world to propagate the chanting of the holy name and convert these materialistic people to Vaishnavas. And he came to live here in Navadvip. And on the banks of the holy river Ganges, he would worship his Shalagram Shila with tulsi leaves and sandalwood paste. He would offer with love and devotion the water of the Ganges. And with a very loud, thunderous voice, he would cry out for Lord Krishna to descend into this world. It is described the cries of Advaitacharya. They penetrated all the layers of material existence and entered into the realm of the spiritual world. And Krishna can never refuse to reciprocate with the compassionate prayers of his devotee. During the month of Magh, the Supreme Lord, in his original form, appeared in the womb of Sachi Mata. From the mind of Jagannath Mishra, he entered into the mind of Sachi Mata and then into her womb. And when Sachi Mata was holding the Lord, she became beautifully effulgent. Even the demigods would come to offer prayers to her. And the most wonderful, auspicious events were taking place. Ten months went by, and still the child was not born. So Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata were becoming very much afraid. They approached Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, who was a great astrologer. And he explained this child is a divine being, and he is waiting for the most auspicious possible time to appear. It was on the full moon night of month of Phalgun that there was a lunar eclipse. During the lunar eclipse, everyone around, whether they were atheists or theists, whether they were Shaktas or Bhaktas, everyone was chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. There were millions of people in the river Ganges loudly chanting the holy names. Planet was thinking, when the spotless moon of Sri Gaurachandra is about to appear, what is the use of this moon with so many spots? So he ate the moon. And at that time, when everyone was chanting the holy names, Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Pandit, Srivas, Sri Ram, Sri Nidhi, all the brothers, Sri Pati, they were all so happy. Everyone is chanting, let this lunar eclipse last forever. Let it never end. Everyone is in the Ganges. Everyone is loudly chanting the holy name. Moment that the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in his original form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to distribute love of God to the whole world. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, from the ocean of the womb of Sachi Devi arose the beautiful golden moon of Gaurachandra. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, everything in the universe became auspicious. Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur and Santipur, they just felt an ecstasy in their hearts and they just began dancing and dancing, and people were wondering why. All the devotees felt elated, but they could not understand the reason. It was right here, in this very place, under this holy neem tree that we are all sitting beneath, that Lord Gaurachandra appeared. And now I would like to ask our respected guests to describe one by one the childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya.
Lord Chaitanya, what you often say to Advaitacharya, Nara, by your loud calling, you forced me to come in this world. I was sleeping on the milk ocean, but your loud cries have attracted me to come. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the womb of Mother Sachi, the demigods came from all directions and offered their prayers. Just like the demigods had appeared when Lord Krishna was in the womb of Devaki, they now took the opportunity to come where Mother Sachi was. And Jagannath Mishra said to Mother Sachi, I don't know, but in the night I see mysterious beings who come and offer prayers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, is described in Bhagavatam as a Channa avatar, a hidden avatar. In fact, he said to many devotees, don't tell anyone that I am Krishna, otherwise I will have to remove you earlier from this world. there is one Brahmana, Sadhu, who once took his bath around here, where Mother Ganga is, and just like the devotees who stand in the Ganga half-merged to chant the Gayatri Mantra, he was also standing and chanting the Gayatri Mantra. All of a sudden he saw how Mother Ganga was coming up, just chest to the neck, then she was rising higher, and he was becoming disturbed and could not chant so well any longer. Then he saw how Mother Ganga was lowering down to his navel, to his knees, to the weights, I think it's called, this part here. And this was repeating itself several times. His Gayatri Mantra was totally disturbed by now. All of a sudden, he spotted the cause of Mother Ganga's unusual behavior. He saw how a little boy in a golden complexion danced on the bank of the Ganga. And sometimes he would move away from Ganga and sometimes come closer. And whenever this little golden boy moved away from the Ganga, Ganga was flooding out of the flood of the Ganga and trying to touch the lotus feet of this little boy. And as he came closer, she again went back into the riverbed. That was the reason why sometimes she came up and sometimes down. Then, for the Brahmana's great surprise, he all of a sudden saw how from inside the river Ganga a mysteriously looking woman appeared. The sari resplendent with the shine of the moonshine, whitish. She was riding on a golden chariot drawn by dolphins. And coming on the land, then she was alighting from the chariot, and she threw herself down before this wonderful boy. And she said, "In your previous incarnation, you were gracing my sister Yamuna by always bathing in her waters. In your incarnation, which is about to take place, please come and allow me to serve you with the arms of my waves." And the boy smiled and said, "Yes." So then Ganga disappeared, and the Brahmana who had washed all this was getting the idea. This is the yoga avatar, the hidden avatar. I have seen. And he by then had totally interrupted his Gayatri Mantra naturally. He came out of the river, he paid his obeisances and said, "My dear Lord, you will appear very soon as this little golden boy." And then the Lord turned to him and said, "Yes, but don't tell. If you do, I will have to remove you earlier." There are several incidents that the Lord said this, and we will hear in the course of our parikram more about these incidences. But now let us understand, this incarnation of the Lord is very, very special. He is hidden, and he wants to be like this, because he doesn't want to know that he's God. He wants to be known as the worshipper of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he wants to teach us how to become proper devotees. In this morning's Bhagavatam class, His Holiness Radhana Maharaj explained so convincingly and so with so many illustrations how the Lord teaches the behavior of a devotee in all the ashrams. The Lord has seen that the people of this Kali Yuga are so hopelessly fallen, and therefore He came to teach them how to do the path of Sharanagati. And this path starts with being very humble and seeing the Lord as one's only protector and maintainer. So the Lord, you know, just like a teacher, when he sees that a child cannot write properly, then he will get on the blackboard and say, "Look now, Shuno, listen, huh? Shuno," something like this. And then he will say, "A, B, C, that's how you write." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also is appearing as a devotee by giving the practical example in black and white. It says, actions speak louder than words, no? In this way, in black and white, he teaches how to behave. And after Mahaprabhu had appeared, Mother Sachi and Jagannath saw on the floor of this house footprints which had the signs of the fish and flashlight and the lotus and other signs. And Jagannath Mishra said to Sachi, "Come, come, look here, these footprints, what could this mean?" And Mother Sachi was thinking, "You worship Damodara in the form of the Shalagram Shila. He must have manifested out of the Shila and walked over this floor." Revealed in public to all the devotees, he sometimes manifested himself from the altar, but only in the later period something wonderful happened. It was in Puri when Advaita Acharya, who is like a lion, told all the devotees, "Today we will sing the glories of only one incarnation, of Krishna who came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And he started a kirtan, "Jaya Jaya Sachi Nandan, Jaya Gauran Narayan," and began to dance wildly, and the devotees were very afraid, because Mahaprabhu had told them, "Never chant my glories, never say that I am Krishna." But then Advaita Acharya, who is like a lion, looked in their eyes and said, "Chant, chant!" They had to chant. I've written this kirtan down. Actually, we should not chant this, I'm sorry, because Mahaprabhu will come over here and be angry at us. That is what happened in this kirtan. Because Mahaprabhu wanted to come as a Chana avatar, all of a sudden he was present in the kirtan and he looked at the devotees and said, "Why have you given up the kirtan of Lord Krishna? Why have you abandoned this?" And meanwhile, Advaita Acharya was dancing wildly, encouraging everyone to chant and chant and chant. And then Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu," and he ran away. He fled. He went where he was staying and he took a rest. And he said to Govinda, "I'm taking a rest. I should not be disturbed." He was very angry. So then these millions of people came to this ecstatic kirtan, glorifying the Lord, to where he was residing. Then after some time, Mahaprabhu came out and he went to Srivas, "Why are you singing this song, this new song?" And Srivas just smiled and hinted at the sun. He went like this. Lord Chaitanya was saying, "And what is your gesture now? What are you hinting?" And Srivas said, "My dear Lord, who can hide the sun? The sun will always be visible. In the same way, you have come to bless this time of Kali Yuga by giving what no incarnation has given, pure love of God. You don't need to pretend. This only Krishna can do." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him and said, "Today you have defeated me." So here many parallel pastimes took place. I want to pass on the microphone to other speakers to not take too much time, but let us here not forget the speciality of Mahaprabhu's appearance, which is that he came as a covered incarnation, and his purpose was to teach us conditioned souls who have rebelled against Krishna. Krishna comes personally, not as Krishna, so that we don't rebel any longer, but as the great teacher, the Mahaprabhu, the great master, who teaches by his examples how we can become servants of Krishna. We have such an opportunity here. This parikrama, you should think, it is covered with jewels, the path. Just like a materialistic man, when he knows, I have an opportunity to take whatever I can take in 10 days, he will become wild. Especially when it's a place where there are only jewels. So in this Navadvip Dharma, there's the most precious treasure is to be gotten, which is the unimaginable mercy of this dearest of all incarnations, Caitanya Mahaprabhu. When we leave this place, we can be the richest people in the universe. And let us therefore again repeat the words of Raghunath Maharaj, who said, let us not waste even a second to jump into the filthy pit of material consciousness. Let us work hard in these 10 days to grab all the mercy we can get. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
to take this opportunity to thank His Holiness Radhanath Swami for organizing this wonderful yatra here at Navadvip Dham and giving us all an opportunity to become purified in the wonderful association of such enthusiastic devotees. Personally, I feel like the dog that joined the yatra of Shivananda Sai and got the mercy of the Vaishnavas.
Vishnu.
So nice to have a master like Radhanath Swami who take care of us and feed us a little bowl of rice every day, maintain us on his yatra. I was wondering why we were having this yatra in Navadvip Dham when the rest of the whole society is in Vrindavan. So I began reflecting that the acharyas explain that actually Sri Navadvip Dham is non-different than Sri Vrindavan Dham. And all of the pastimes that took place in Lord Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, they're taking place here in Navadvip Dham. And all of the holy places that are there in Vrindavan are here in Navadvip Dham. So we are not missing out on anything in this yatra. We are participating in yatras that equal to Vraj Mandala Parikrama that is going on now. This Navadvip Parikrama is equal. It's non-different. So this is the Kartik month, and we're all remembering the wonderful childhood Leela of Damodar, Krishna, his childhood pastimes, so captivating to the mind that great sages pray that these pastimes of Lord Krishna in his childhood Leela, the object of meditation eternally. So the childhood pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Nimai Pandit, Gaurahari, that took place in Navadvip Dham, they are non-different than the pastimes that Nanda Nanda, son of Nanda Maharaj, performed in Vrindavan. And so many pastimes. Krishna in Vrindavan his mischievous pastimes, stealing butter and causing so much mischief in the neighborhood, a cause of constant ecstasy for the residents of Vrindavan. That's because, according to the Acharyas, that in the Supreme Absolute Truth, Janmadasyayataha, that everything that we find in this world, activities of children, stealing, lying, fighting, they all originally exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these activities become sources of great joy and ecstasy. In the material world, they're a cause of consternation and disenchantment. So, in this holy place of the home of Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Mata, appearance place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can remember the wonderful pastimes of Nimai as a child. Actually, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra never had it easy in raising Nimai as a child. Every day, practically, girls from the neighborhood would come and lodge complaints to Sachi Mata. "My dear Sachi Mata, you can't believe what happened down at the Ganga today. We are getting ready to worship Goddess Durga to achieve nice husbands. When all of a sudden, your son, Nimai, comes out of nowhere and steals our offering and eats all of the sweets. Not only that, but your son, he takes these prickly seeds and throws it into our hair. And out of nowhere, he comes up from behind us and shouts loudly into our ears and spits water into our faces. And he even says that he wants to marry us." When Sachi Mata heard these complaints, she just looks over at Jagannath Mishra and in great consternation wonders what to do. Then moments later, Brahmins who have been down at the Ganga diligently performing their puja, they would also knock on the door of Jagannath Mishra's house and storm in complaining about their son. "Do you know that today, while we were chanting our Gayatri mantra in the Ganga, suddenly your son comes swimming in the water, diving underneath the water, grabs us by the ankles and pulls us out of the water and go head over heels in the water, just disturbing our meditation. And out of nowhere, underwater, he comes up right in front of us and with a mouthful of Ganges water, aims it right at our faces and spits right in our faces. This son of yours is causing such a disturbance at the Ganga every day. In fact, he's down there right now. If you go down there right now, you can catch him." So, Jagannath Mishra, hearing these complaints, looks at Sachi Mata and says, "This is enough. I've had it." And he grabs a stick. And Sachi Mata runs after him. No, Jagannath Mishra, don't hurt him. He grabs a stick and begins running to the bank of the Ganges. In the meantime, Nimai Pandit had word of this happening, and he bid his friends farewell and immediately went by the other path back home. And mysteriously, his hair dried very nicely. All of the ink spots that were on his body from being at school immediately appeared again. And he ran home into the arms of Sachi Mata. In the meantime, Jagannath Mishra appears very angry on the bank of the Ganges, seeing all of Nimai's friends who knew what Nimai had done. And he began to shake his stick. Where is Nimai? Where is Nimai? They began to laugh. Say, oh, Nimai has not been at the Ganga today. We don't know where he's been. He never came here from school. And Chagrat Mishra just scratches his head. What is going on? Completely bewildered, goes back home, and he sees Nimai in the arms of Sachimata, acting so innocently, smiling into her face, and Jagannath Mishra, seeing the beauty of his son, forgot all these complaints. In fact, it is explained that everyone who complained about Nimai's mischievous activities in the neighborhood, they weren't really complaining about Nimai at all. They were just taking the opportunity to talk about Nimai's pastimes. In this way, whether it was complaining or whether it was glorifying his wonderful activities, just talking about Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, melts the heart and makes the devotee more and more attracted to him. So the parents of Nimai Pandit, Jagannath Mishra, Sachimata, they didn't want to know anything that our son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although many times it was indicated to them. One day, Mother Sachi was laying with Nimai in the night when suddenly she heard footsteps coming into her house. And she looked around and suddenly the whole house was filled with demigods. She was completely terrified. And the demigods came and took Nimai from her lap and placed him on the throne and began bathing him and worshipping him and offering him prayers and obeisances. And poor Sachimata, she was completely frightened from this scene. She couldn't understand it. Conchal started blowing, gong started playing, and the demigods began to pray. Oh, my dear Lord of the universe, please give us protection. In this age of Kali, you have appeared to maintain us. We therefore beg you, please give us one benediction. Please give us the chance to attain the love of the residents of Vrindavan and this way perfect our lives. And when Sachimata saw what was going on, she was very disturbed. And she ran to the throne and took Nimai off the throne. She said, now you go to your father's room now. Forget all this scene. I don't know what this is. It might be a dream. I don't know what it is. But you go to your father and be under his protection. So Nimai started walking to his room, and immediately he was followed by all the demigods who were standing in line. Suddenly, Nimai turned around and told them, don't hanker after me. Just fill your mind with the thoughts of Radha and Krishna. Fill your mouth with the vibration of the names of Radha and Krishna. Please chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. The demigods, hearing this instruction from Nima, began very gracefully dancing
raising their arms, they also began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. When Mother Sachi saw this kirtan going on in her house with the demigods and her son, she suddenly fainted to the ground, and sound of her fainting awoke Jagannath Mishra from the other room, and he came running, picked up his wife, and at that time the whole scene had disappeared, and Sachi Mata began telling Jagannath Mishra, you should have seen what just occurred. Demigods came, they were worshipping our son as the maintainer of the universe, and he told them to chant, and they were chanting, and he was dancing with them. She began to cry. She says, I don't know what this is. I've lost 8 of my children, and I only have 2 left. And I don't want to lose my precious Nima. He's my life and soul. So, I don't know what this is. It was a dream or what? Please, but you just perform some jaga. Let's call the Brahmins. Let's perform some sacrifice to protect our son. So this was her move. This is the move, the parental ras, to protect her child, to love her child without any feeling of awe and reverence. And in this mood, she one day decided to go and worship the goddess Sasti, who is the goddess for the protection of children. So she made very nice milk sweets, sandesh, condensed milk, bananas, and she put it on a plate, and she went, covered the plate with her sari, and was going out into the forest to worship. And on her way, Nima spotted her on the path, and he jumped in front of her with both arms out. I said, Mother, where are you going? What are you doing? She said, My dear son, I'm going to worship Goddess Sasti. I'm going to pray for your protection. And I've made this nice offering of sandesh and sweet milk. And just be patient. I'll be back with the Mahaprasad and you can take it. She said, Mother, no. I've told you this many times. I'm very, very hungry. In fact, I'm very, very hungry right now. She goes, no, no, please, let me go. I'll be back in a few minutes after the offering. Suddenly, little Nima sticks his hand under her cloth onto the plate and grabs all of the sweets and immediately eats them. And Mother Sachi, she began chastising her son. Don't you know? This is disrespectful to the demigods. You are the son of a Brahmin. You haven't even learned this simple thing, to be respectful to the demigods. Suddenly, Nimai became very angry. He began to chastise his mother. He says, there's no need to worship any demigods. You should just offer everything to me. I am the all in all. In fact, whatever you give to me, it's like watering the root of a tree. When you water the root of the tree, automatically all of the limbs, the branches, the twigs and flowers are satisfied. So, Mother Sachi, even though she heard this supreme personality of Godhead standing before her as her son, she could not understand because she was covered by yoga maya, the deluding potency to give the devotee access to the intimate love that is only available
by the mercy. It's only available in the Braj, the Brajaras, the relationships of the residents of Vrindavan with Krishna. And the same Brajaras was distributed by Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself. He distributed it personally to his mother and father and to his intimate devotees who were all residents of Vrindavan. And it didn't appear as gopas and gopis in Chaitanya Lila, but they appeared as brahmanas and his friends in the neighborhood of Navadvip. Now we're going to be going to some of the houses of Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates in which he distributed this Brajaras in the form of Harinam Sankirtan. This Harinam Sankirtan is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate distribution of the supreme love of Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. And we are so fortunate to be able to participate in the Sankirtan movement, to be able to come from many places all over the world to Navadvip Dham and perform Sankirtan in association of devotees. And it is with great gratitude that is in my heart that I want to express to my God brothers and all of you for giving an opportunity to taste the sweet kirtan ras of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki! Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I'll speak for just a few minutes. The wonderful pastimes that took place on this very spot, although we may have heard them, we should know that they are eternally being enacted here. Every one of these pastimes that have taken place at Yogapeet are eternally taking place here. And they are revealed to those who have the eyes anointed with the salve of true devotion. So to hear these wonderful stories at this sacred place is very auspicious and purifying to the heart. It was here that little Nimai, just born, had the name-giving ceremony. Nilambara Chakravarti Thakur explained that as soon as this child was born, all droughts ended. Rains, flowers, in fact all six seasons manifested simultaneously. He is the nourisher and the maintainer of the whole universe. Therefore his name should be Vishwambhara. And Sachimata was thinking, because he was born under a neem tree, and the neem tree scares away all ghosts, in order to keep ghosts away from this child, we will name him Nimai. And the young ladies, because he looked just like Lord Hari, with a beautiful golden complexion, they named him Gaur Hari. And because every limb was so delicate with such beautiful golden color, Jagannath Mishra named him Gauranga. When he was just a little baby, sometimes he would cry. And when a baby cries, you hold him or you give him some milk and they become pacified. But Nimai was not pacified. However much milk he was given, however many toys and playthings he was given, how much affection they would give, he just cried more and more. The more they gave him things, the louder he would cry. But because they were all pure devotees, and all devotees
when there's nothing else to do, what do we do? We call out the holy names of Krishna. Upon chanting the holy names, Nimai, not only did he stop crying, but he smiled. And he cast his most beautiful glance of love on all those who were chanting. Utterly melted their hearts. And then he would cry again, and all the neighboring ladies would gather around and clap their hands and chant the holy names of God. Nimai would smile upon them. So this became the favorite pastime of all the lady devotees of Navadvipa. They would spend the whole day at Nimai's house, clapping their hands and chanting, just waiting for him to cry. One day he was crying, and they all gathered together and started clapping and chanting, but he kept crying. And they chanted and they cried and they chanted and he cried. And they said, Nimai, we're chanting. Why do you keep crying? It happened, he was just a little child. He said, it happened to be Ekadasi that day. He said, there is an offering being made at Hiranya and Jagadish's house. I want that offering. So Sachi Mata said, this is very impossible. How can we ask them for their offering? But some of the people ran. And when they heard, they thought, this boy is so intelligent. It is Ekadasi and we have made very, very special feast for the deity in our home. And they brought all the feast and they gave it, and Nimai took little piece of everything. And as Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit were looking, they could understand, this is Lord Gopal, this is our worshipable object of love. He has accepted our offerings. But they did not say anything to anyone. Sometimes Nimai, because he's actually the proprietor of everything that exists, he would just want whatever he saw. He would see the full moon in the sky, and he would tell Sachi Devi, give me the moon. And she said, how can I give the moon? He said, give me the moon. I want the moon in my hand. And when she couldn't give him the moon, he would just start to cry and beat his hands against the floor. And sometimes birds would fly in the sky. He said, I want that bird. In this way, he gave great pleasure to all of the devotees. One day in this very courtyard, a big snake came. And Nimai ran up and grabbed the snake. And as soon as he touched the snake coiled into a beautiful bed. And Nimai very comfortably lay in the coils of that snake. And Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra and all the relatives and friends, when they saw their little baby Nimai is laying in a dangerous snake, they didn't know what to do. So they started calling out for the protection of the child by chanting, Garuda, Garuda! Actually, this snake was Anantashesha, who especially came because he wanted to perform the seva for Nimai. But when Anantashesha saw how he was putting all the relatives in so much anxiety, he began to crawl away. And as he was crawling away, Nimai was running after to catch him. And the ladies grabbed Nimai and brought him on their laps. And he kept trying to run back to the snake. And they began to think that how fortunate. It is said in the scriptures that old people and women and children are protected by the Supreme Lord. Now we can understand that this is true. Another time, just here in the house of Jagannath Mishra, a Brahmin, very great devotee, he came to the house to beg alms. he would carry a Shalagram Shila and a deity of Gopal around his neck. And he arrived, Jagannath Mishra gave him nice sitting place, sweet words. He said, "We are so fortunate. You are so effulgent and filled with devotion, and you have come to bless our home. Please prepare some rice." So the Brahmin, he accepted the offer, and Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata and other relatives, they arranged all nice cooking facilities in the kitchen, and he prepared a nice feast. And he was just offering it to his deity of Gopal. And as he was chanting the Gopal mantra, at that moment, little Nimai came and with a smiling face, took with his hand the offering and began to eat. And the Brahmin upon seeing this, "Hi, hi, my offering has been spoiled." Jagannath Mishra saw his Nimai eating the offering right in front of Gopal. He picked up stick, came running, and Nimai ran away. The Brahmin said to Jagannath Mishra, "He's just a little child. He does not know what is good or bad. You should not punish him." Jagannath Mishra was so sad. He said, "Please make another offering." The Brahmin said, "It is Krishna's arrangement that I do not eat today. Just give me some roots and fruits and I will be satisfied." He said, "No, no, please offer again." And all the relatives were praying with folded hands, "Please make another offering." So he said, "All right." And again they cleaned the kitchen and made nice arrangements and he cooked. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra said, "Keep Nimai away." So the neighboring ladies, they took him into another house and they were playing with him on their laps and singing to him. And they said, "Nimai, while you eat, you don't even know what is the caste or background of this Brahmin. You will lose your caste." And Nimai said, "No, no, I am a cowherd boy. I always eat the offerings of Brahmins." But they could not understand what he was saying. So as they were playing with him, the Brahmin was making the offering and chanting the mantra to Gopal. Nimai was playing so nice that they became so bewildered, they didn't even know he left. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. And right at the offering site, Nimai took the food and began to eat. And the Brahmin, very much disturbed, "Hi, hi, he spoiled my offering." And Jagannath Mishra again came running with stick. And Nimai went running away. And he was so much disturbed. "I must teach my child proper behavior." And everyone was trying to stop him. But Nimai went into the room and closed the door. And Jagannath Mishra was sitting with his hands covering his face. And he was begging, everyone was begging the Brahmin, "Please cook again." He said, "I've already cooked twice. It's becoming very light. Just give me some fruit." They said, "No, no, we must please cook again." But he would not. At that moment, Vishwarup came in. And when the Brahmin saw Vishwarup, such beauty, such divine qualities, he said, "Whose son is this?" "This is Jagannath Mishra's son." He embraced Vishwarupa. And Vishwarupa bowed down to him. And he said, "We are so fortunate that you have come to our home. But we are so unfortunate that you are not eating rice." The Brahmin said, "I've already cooked twice. If Krishna wants me to eat, he will give. He doesn't want me to eat today." Vishwarupa says, "No, he wants you to eat, and it's not so late. Please, it is our appeal that you cook again." So the Brahmin said, "All right," and everyone was very happy. And he began to cook. And the lady said to Jagannath Mishra, Nimai is fast asleep, there is no danger. The goddess of sleep was sent to that place. And everyone fell asleep, except the Brahman. And he began to chant the mantra of gold. And just at that moment, little beautiful golden Nimai appeared and picked up the rice and began to eat. And the Brahman cried out, Hi, hi! Again he has spoiled my offering. And Nimai just looked at him with his merciful glance and smilingly said, You have called for me, and I am coming. You are asking me to accept this offering, and I am accepting. Why are you so disturbed? And then it was right here where you are sitting just now that eternally this leela is taking place. Nimai manifested the most beautiful form of Krishna. The Brahman saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a beautiful form of a complexion like the Tamil tree. And he had eight arms. He had the four arms of Narayana, holding the conch shell, the club, the lotus flower, and the chakra. And with two hands he was playing upon his celebrated flute. And with one hand he had a pot of butter, and with the other hand he was eating it. And he saw the bank of the Jamuna in Vrindavan, and beautiful forest of kadamba trees. And he saw thousands of beautiful Saravi cows. And he saw the gopas and the gopis all chanting the glories of the Lord. And there was Brahma, and there was Shiva, and there was Narada, and there was Sukadeva, all chanting the glories of the Lord. When he saw this beautiful sight, he fell unconscious. And then the Lord touched him and brought him back to consciousness. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead explained how in many births you have come to my house to beg and I have revealed this form to you. In fact, in Brajbhumi you came to Nanda Maharaja's house and I have revealed this form to you. I grant you the benediction of pure unalloyed devotion. But you do not reveal this darshan of what you have seen to anyone. Or as Satchinanda Maharaj has said, your life will become short. Then the Lord disappeared. First he turned into little Nimai again, then he ran back to his room. And the Brahman was in ecstasy. And he just started eating the Mahaprasad. And in ecstasy, not only was he eating it, he was smearing it on every limb of his body. And he was just crying out the names of the Lord so loud that he woke everyone up. And then they came running. And it was right here. He wanted to tell everyone, your little son, Nimai, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But he wasn't allowed to do so. So somehow or other he washed himself. And he became cool and just was eating. He said, Yes, I have made my offering and I am now taking prasad. That Brahman never left Navadvipa after that. That Brahman every day would come begging from the house of Jagannath Mishra, and every day he would witness the beautiful pastimes of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. On another occasion, Nimai was decorated with so many nice jewels by his mother, bangles and echo bells, and like that. So some thieves, when they saw a little child playing, they were thinking, let us steal his jewels. So they said, child, let us take you home. We have nice sandesh. So come into our arms. So Nimai said, yes. So he jumped and they put him on shoulders and they were taking him to their own residence. And meanwhile, they were giving him sandesh and he was eating it. They were running. When Nimai was having good ride, children like to take rides. So, and meanwhile at the house here of Jagannath Misra and Shashi Mata, they were looking everywhere for their child. They could not find him. They were asking all the villagers and all the neighbors and everyone, where is our Nimai? Nobody could find him. So they were in terrible distress and they were praying to the Lord, weeping and crying in total anxiety, where is our Nimai? And meanwhile the thieves were running and giving him more and more sandesh, and he was happily riding on their shoulders and eating. And just they thought they came to their own headquarters. And they brought him off and said, child, now you are home. And he jumped off, and they happened to be right here in front of Nimai's house. And all the parents and relatives were crying and worrying, and Nimai ran right to his father and jumped into his arms. And he said, oh, child, you have come. And meanwhile, the thieves, they were looking at each other. How did we come here? We will be caught. So very quickly, as everyone was celebrating the arrival of Nimai, they ran away. And they asked, who brought you here? And someone said, I saw two men, they brought him here. And Jagannath Mishra, he prepared nice silken cloth and turbans to give to them as a reward, but they had already run away. And they were running and running and running. And they were thinking, because of our worship of Goddess Chandi, she has protected us from being caught. And they asked Nimai, what happened? He said, I was near the bank of Ganga and I became lost. They came and brought me just home. It is explained when Nimai was just a little child, the ladies of Navadvip, they would love to see him dance. He danced when he was a baby, he danced like a little golden puppet. And they would sing and clap and he would dance. And even before he could walk, he would go like this and charm everyone's hearts. Gaurhari stole the hearts of all of the fortunate devotees of Srinagarbhi. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur, they describe unlimited pastimes took place in this house of Nimai Pandit. We have mentioned just a few, but it is described just like a bird. How high can the bird fly in the sky? Similarly, how much can we describe the pastimes of the unlimited personality of God? Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami said, Ananta Shesha with his thousand hoods, he cannot in the whole time of creation, with his thousand mouths, he cannot describe the amount of pastimes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed in one moment. The unlimited pastimes of the Lord that are eternally being enacted in this most sacred abode of the appearance place of Gauranga Mahaprabhu are to be heard and remembered always throughout our lives. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu disappeared from our earthly vision, a great flood of Mother Ganga covered this area. And all the sites of Sri Mayapur Dham disappeared from our earthly vision. And after some time, some Brahmins who owned property on the other side of Ganga, they erected a place and called it Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Because people give donations for good luck. So it was more of a business. But the great souls, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji, and the pioneer of our Krishna consciousness movement, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, they understood that this cannot be the proper place. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to Bhakti Ratnakara, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and other such scriptures, he appeared on the eastern side of the river Ganges. So one day at Govindvip, Thakur Bhakti Vinod saw a beautiful, beautiful golden light coming from this place. And this was a repeated vision that he was receiving. And he began to study so many ancient scriptures and maps and came to the conclusion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's real birthplace was in this area. So he came and he found, because of Yavana people living in the area, no devotees were here. But there was one place that was covered with tulsi plants, and great souls would come here to worship that place. So he understood by the arrangement of the Lord in his heart, this is actually the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was utterly convinced according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But still, even with all Shastric evidence, nothing is auspicious without the confirmation of Guru. So he approached Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. I believe he was about 120 years old at the time. And he was such a great devotee. Bhakti Vinod Thakur called him the commander-in-chief of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Jagannath Das Babaji, in his old age, he could not walk. So his servant, Bihari Lal, would carry him in a basket. But he was constantly immersed in chanting the holy names. Even his eyes, he would have to lift his eyelids to open his eyes. He was very old. So Thakur Bhakti Vinod brought him to this place. And when he came, Jagannath Das Babaji, experiencing the presence of the eternal Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his very home where he appeared in this world, Jagannath Das Babaji leaped out of his basket. His lotus feet were above everyone's heads, and he was jumping up and down, chanting the holy names, Jai Satchinandana Gaura Hari. Jai Satchinandana Gaura Hari. Excavation took place, and as they were digging in the ground, they found the original deity that Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata worshipped in the house of Nimai Pandit of Adhokshita Vishnu, who is the small ancient deity just in the center of the altar with Lakshmi Priya Vishnu Priya and Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So as we are leaving, please have darshan of this beautiful deity. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, in order to build temple here, he actually went out from house to house begging for money. Although he was such an aristocrat, he was a magistrate in the courts of the British, and he was considered such a great scholar, such a great author. But he went out in the mood of a beggar to serve the holy Dham. And through his great efforts, a temple was built. And later his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, built the present beautiful structure at this holy place in Yogapith. And his beloved disciple, his divine race, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, spread the glories of Srinagavi down throughout the world. And by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, we have all assembled here together to pray for the causeless mercy of Nikai or Sundar, pray for the mercy of the previous Acharyas, and to please them by serving their divine mission and spreading the glories of the chanting of Krishna's name. Thank you very much.